Good morning, Unleashed Lund Loyalists. Thanks for tuning in live each weekday at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. Remember, please like and subscribe and listen where you get your podcasts. Be on the lookout for Lund Loyalists perks by joining the club. And if you really want your comments read during the show, you can use supers and stickers. Now, as close to on time as he gets, here's Johnny.
Yes, 808, 808. Not bad, not bad, not perfect. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us. We made it through a Monday. It is Tuesday, the Tuesday edition of the program. If you are new, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are a returning Lund Loyalist to the Unleashed Army, thank you so much for hanging out today. We even did a post game last night for the national championship and a post-mortem for the Warriors. We'll get into that. As you can see, if you are new, we've got a little chalkboard, or what we like to call a chalkboard around here. We're up to episode 37. So we have the ugly score of the Warriors, 125-85, the first and third quarters. I will show you. I've got a philosophy for the Warriors. I don't know if I call it a philosophy, but maybe an idea. I doubt they do it, but it's really what they need to do. The WTF Kenny, if you saw inside the NBA, it wasn't post-game. I guess it was halftime. I got to play this for you. I'm like, what in the what? It felt like Happy Gilmore to me. Kenny, I love you, man, but we are all dumber for what you just said. So we'll play that for you as well. Sala Staley, that kind of got into things last night when we did the post-mortem and post-game to the national championship. We'll get into that conversation. I don't know how the 49ers let Bones Fossil, one of the best special teams coaches and the author of the new kickoff rule, whether you like it or not, go to the Tennessee Titans when they had clearly the biggest need for a special teams coordinator, a high quality special teams coordinator. In the market, we don't talk a ton of college football. I love, love, love college football. So it's kind of the love and the hate of college football as Ohio State, just pure talent over Notre Dame, 34-23. There's a Tolbert update. In fact, you know what? I'm going to have to go to I'm going to have to share my computer for you. Website, if you didn't get this last night, maybe we'll just do this right off the gate. I constantly am saying, go here and go there and go here and go there and at John Lund Radio and at John Lund Unleashed and blah, 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 blah. And rather than that, let me just share my screen for just a second. I've been teasing this for weeks, and you probably thought to yourself, he's lying straight through his teeth. There's no website. What is he talking about? So right there, we're still working on it, but it's 90% there. So what you do, meet your host. Hey, how's it going, everybody? You can go all of the social media stuff you see at the top, home, podcast, YouTube, blog, contact. So you can even reach out to me, but your home, your podcast, your YouTube, everything is in one place if you want to click at the top, or you can just go down. YouTube shows, the latest ones are there. Then you click for more shows there. Podcasts are right there. Unleashed blog posts, so I'm actually writing stuff like Mahomes flopping, things like that, and we update that thing every single day. So if you want to go and just all in one place kind of a thing and check out the show and what we're up to and writing and podcasts and videos and shows and shorts and social media and all that kind of stuff, one place, one stop shop. There you go. The website is up at John Lund Unleashed. So it's pretty simple. All you have to do is that and you are good to go. So that stuff out of the way, and do make sure that you're subscribing, liking at John Lund Unleashed Pod. If you are watching on YouTube, appreciate it. We have the chat up right now and I will welcome everybody in just a minute, but you can also take us with you. We are streaming live on X as we do at John Lund Radio. Also on Instagram, and the moment the show is over, we have a podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. All right, with that out of the way, good to see Daniel, Gizmo, Harley Bird, AJ Cruz, Tacky, Skills Report. Daniel is here. Love it. Senior softball games. Skills Report, my guy, is here as well. I'll tell you the Kenny thing, and maybe we'll get to it. We'll try to get to it in order. You know how I am. Probably not going to get to it in order. Uncle Leo, good to see you. Vernon, hello. Good to see you, my friend. Jesus, Scott is here. True Blue Forever is here. Wes, Pine Needle, hello. Good morning. Enrique, good to see you. Joy, hi. Good morning. Good to see you. Absolutely great to see you. Who else? Anybody new in the house? I would love to say good morning to anybody who is new in the house. Thank you so much. And by the way, thank you for spreading the word about our little community here. But because a lot of people, look at everybody's hitting the tank thing. They already know. They already know what I'm going to talk about this morning. So anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is always great to have you here. I do not take your viewership, listenership for granted. And I know that you have a lot of places you can go and you tune in here. So it is absolutely great. And like you said, Joy, and the Lund ladies, and I have been looking, Joy, and you look lovely there. Is that, if that's you, that it's almost like you look like a daughter there. You look very beautiful. But what I was saying is that I was looking at my demographics and we are growing the ladies, which is very nice. Despite the way that I look, especially in the morning, that is very, very nice to see that. All right. As you well know, too, it's Sports Girl for Life is here, too. As you well know, we sometimes go in order. We sometimes don't. You can throw me off track. You know that. You can contribute to the show, all those kind of things. All right, let's get going. We are 6 minutes and 33 seconds into this thing, and we've accomplished absolutely nothing. I guess we'll start with the Warriors. 125-85. You saw that last night. Let me just throw it up there, and I guess we'll just get into this kind of stuff. Let me see here. Let's start with this. All right. I guess we have to. Well, we don't really have to. We can do whatever we want. 125-85. The Warriors can't shoot. Steph Curry, 6-16, 4-12, 18 points. Andrew Wiggins has been good. I'm not going to rip him for one game. 1-11, 0-4. Gary Payton, whatever. Dennis Schroeder, I told you, was not going to be great when he came over. The fact that Guy Santos is getting 27 minutes tells you everything you need to know about the injuries that are happening on this team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a quote after the game, and I guess I'll do this in order so that I don't get all ADD on everybody, but it was the first quarter. You see 29-16, just, yeah, great. And then the third quarter. I'm doing this fast so that we don't have to do too much on this. 43-24 in the third quarter. Remember when the Warriors were really good in the third quarter? That seems so long ago. Just look at those numbers in the third quarter. Steph had 9. Nobody else really did anything. Steph 3-7, 3-5, but they get outscored by 19 in the third quarter, and they get outscored, 11 in the first quarter, and then they just cruised in the fourth quarter. So pretty nasty loss. A couple of things to look at here as we have a discussion about the Warriors and then take this into the deep end. This is a good friend of mine, Om Youngmasook. He's from ESPN and does a great job covering the NBA. The 40-point loss is their largest at home under Steve Kerr. Worst home loss for the Warriors since 1985, and the 85 points is the fewest in a home game in which Steph Curry has played in since Steve Kerr became coach. You can read all that kind of stuff, but it's pretty damning. Now let's acknowledge one thing. Draymond Green did not play, and Kuminga was obviously out with the ankle, and Podziemski didn't play again. So we often use this term. You can use this as an excuse or an explanation. You could be yelling at your computer right now and saying, maybe not you're yelling, we're chilling, right? But you could be saying to yourself, Lund, all those guys were out and they're not that bad. Okay, I can buy that. I mean, really, I can buy that. I can either buy excuse or explanation, but they haven't been good for a lot of the year. So it's one of those things where it's like, eh. And then the other one, this is the one, and I'm going to play some sad Steph Curry here in a minute. But of course, they played Boston. They beat Boston in 2022. So asked how long the 2022 title feels right now, Steph Curry talked about how Boston's core is largely the same and the Celtics have a championship swagger while the Warriors have a much Ritter team. What is that, John Ritter? What the Celtics are now, it's the exact opposite of what we have right now. Now, I don't want to keep going down this same road every single day, but just that last part, what the Celtics are now, it's the exact opposite of what we have right now. So the Celtics are really good. The Celtics are a championship team, and what Steph Curry continues to lay big hints on, we clearly are not. And Steph Curry generally, I mean, you know certain people are negative Nellies. I like to think of myself as a positive person. You may think differently, but I do. I like to look at myself as a half glass, half full kind of a person. That's how I live my life. And I think Steph Curry does as well. Like if you go to the Niners, for example, let me give you a great example. I think is a great example. Could be wrong. But they kind of yin and yang so well in the front office because John Lynch is an optimistic type, you know, sun will come out tomorrow, that kind of a thing. I didn't need to do that. And then Kyle Shanahan is kind of the realist and they kind of yin and yang each other. So that kind of works. it seems to me that in that locker room, and it doesn't seem to me, it is, Steph Curry is always positive. Steph Curry is a positive dude. But I'm going to play this cut for you in just a second. He's just getting beat down. And so now these quotes continue to come out. This is about 10 days, 2 weeks of quotes where it's, you know, I don't want to, you're crazy if you think I want to be on a mediocre team or a middle team or whatever he said, something along those lines. He's saying that we're the opposite of where Boston is. Boston's a championship team. Clearly they're not. And I know that everybody thinks that Steph Curry is just going to stay through hell or high water. And I just don't think so. I just think that there's nothing left. And when you get to a certain point, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but when you get to a certain point, it's not about money anymore. It's not about anything other than trying to secure a legacy. And nobody plays with the same team anymore for their entire career. Very few people do. You know, the days of Magic and Bird, and I'm staying a Celtic and I'm staying a Laker, and Kobe was a Laker and all those kind of things, but it just doesn't work that way. And if you don't, around the league, and we see it all the time, if you don't put something competitive around me, I'm going to start squawking. Now, is Steph Curry the last remaining player who doesn't do that anymore? You know what? I'm just going to go through this. I don't see it. Steph's a great guy. Steph's a CEO. Steph is going to be a member of the Warriors. I wouldn't doubt if Steph Curry was a guy who was part of this front office, was part of a front owner. I look at him kind of like a Peyton Manning, but even more than that. I think that Steph Curry could accomplish just about anything he wanted to in his post-career. He's the ultimate CEO. He's the ultimate representative of a team. But don't let that fool you. And we've said this before, he's the ultimate competitor as well. So is he going to want to just the last 2-3 years of his career? And while he can't carry a team, I think we've established that. While he can't carry a team, he can be damn good. He can be like the NBA's best Robin. I could tell you that to the Batman. And I use that all the time because you need a clear Batman. And then you need a Robin. And then you need a really good, I don't know, who's the next person after that? Batgirl? I don't know. You need a really good third person after that. And that's what wins you championships. Well, Steph isn't quite a Batman anymore. Draymond Green was never really a Robin. That was more the Clay's role. And we were talking about this last night. It's not like Clay's having a great season in Dallas, so it's not like he could have done that. They didn't make a mistake in letting him go. But you're seeing more and more, I'm not going to call it emotion out of stuff, but just kind of reality from a guy who's really, 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 really positive. And he's starting to lay hints, and they're not really subtle anymore. He's starting to lay hints of, hey, look, I'm a hell of a guy, and I'm a great guy, and I'm always going to be a Warrior, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to raise my family here, and I do love it. But you know what? For the next couple of years here, I might be going, you know, to place X to try to win. He's not immune to what everybody else has, which is moving team to team to team to team to team to win. And I don't think he's going to be a James Harden. I don't think he's going to cause problems. I don't think he's going to be Jimmy Butler. In fact, I know that. He's not going to do that. But behind the scenes, at some point, you can just tell. You can see it building. You can hear it building. At some point, he's going to go to Joe Lacob and say, you owe me, pal. And Joe Lacob is going to have no choice. He does not want to trade Steph Curry, but at some point he's going to have no choice because there's a couple of ways this can go, and that's where I get to tank or trade. So let's do that in a second, but let's listen to Steph Curry. This is after the 125-85 loss to the Celtics yesterday afternoon game at Chase. Here's Steph.
We came out with pretty good life and energy. Big part of our season has been when we can't score, we lose spirit, we lose life, we lose competitiveness. You can get away with it against some teams, against the defending champs. It's not a good formula for success.
How does this team stay afloat the next week or week plus without Draymond and Kuminga?
Next man up mentality. Everybody who steps foot on the floor got to be able to perform. Bring a spirit of, you know, you belong and do it together as a unit. Didn't happen tonight. We obviously had nothing really to show for 36 minutes tonight, and it's going to get tougher, like you said, without, you know, two starters, who one who's incredible at getting into the basket, getting us, you know, some good possessions. Raymond, what he does on the defensive end, but you got to believe that you have enough to win any given night. You have to believe that, you know, we're a team that can find a way to execute on both ends of the floor. It's a mentality thing before it's a physical thing, I think.
So constantly, there's just constant deep thought that the questions are being asked of Steph Curry. And I think it's frustrating for him because, like I said, he can't carry a team anymore. And it's nothing. I'm not ripping Steph Curry. Steph Curry is awesome. There's nothing negative to say about him. It's just he needs help. So let me go down to this point, then I'll get out. There's a bunch of people with some really good stuff that they're saying that everybody's saying this morning. And I thank you so much for coming into the community today. By the way, thank you, Ryan D. I really miss hearing you on my radio. My daily routine hasn't been the same since you left. Glad you're here. I don't want to jump all the way down to Tolbert, but if you hang out for the show a little bit, I have an update, and you probably know what it is. But we're going to make this thing better and better and better and better so that this becomes your routine all the time. But let me stay on track a little bit and hold off my ADD where I say tank or trade, because as you and I often talk about, there's a couple of ways to get better in this league. There, you can trade. You can draft. That's basically it. So if there is not a trade, and you tell me, if there is not a trade that they can make that is going to make them appreciably better, and I don't see it. We've talked about the same names over and over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum. You know, Jimmy Butler, he's not coming here. Do they have the guts to just say, hey, we're going to go in on Zion, and I don't even know what New Orleans would be asking for. In the offseason, it was about Lauri Markkanen, who's had back problems in Utah, and he wouldn't have been the answer. Is Philadelphia thinking about moving Paul George now? All of a sudden, would the Warriors be interested? Paul George has been terrible. The 76ers have been terrible, largely because Joel Embiid can't stay or won't stay healthy. So they've been an absolute joke, and maybe they're just like, Paul George isn't working. Well, Paul George is getting older, and he's not the player he once was. He's not the two-way player that he once was. So Paul George wouldn't be the answer. I mean, whatever name that we've thrown out there, I know that we've talked about stretch fives, that kind of stuff. You know, Vucevic, a lot of people want to talk about Miles Turner. I guess you have to ask yourself, is any of those players, any of those single players going to change the trajectory of the Warriors this season? My answer would be no. You don't have to agree. You can tell me which one of those names do you think would change the trajectory of the Warriors this season. But honestly, if I'm the Warriors, when they won 15 games, and that wasn't a fun season, but to be completely honest with you, and I know the clock is ticking, and I know this is a crazy thought, but they're not going anywhere. You know, we're halfway through the season. They're 11th in the conference. They take on the Kings, who are red hot tomorrow. Then they've got a stretch of games in which they absolutely have to dominate, which the next three are Bulls at the Warriors, Lakers at the Warriors, Jazz at the Warriors. You need to win all three of those games. Then the Thunder is a difficult game. And then you got the Suns, but those are all home games. After the Kings, Bulls, Lakers, Jazz, Thunder, Suns, all at home. And we're coming up on the February 6th deadline. So if you're, and I was going to say Mike Dunleavy, but that's not the truth. They are at such a critical juncture that this really isn't Mike Dunleavy. So everybody can sit there and say, Mike Dunleavy's got to do something. Mike Dunleavy this and Mike Dunleavy that. This is Joe Lacob. This is at the level of Joe Lacob. This is at the level of ownership to say, where are we going here? And a lot of people, we were doing a post-game show last night, and I was asked numerous times in the chat, what's their direction? That's a hell of a good question. We don't know. And they keep talking about two timelines and not mortgaging the future, but Steph is sitting here saying, I don't want to be on a mediocre team, and Steph is having philosophical press conferences at the end of games, and he looks sad, and he looks beaten down, and it's because he knows. You know, there is no solution here. They're looking around, and they're looking at who they have, and they're even with a full, healthy team, and they know that Steph can't play all the games, and Steph can't play large minutes, and Draymond can't play all the games and can't play many minutes. And Andrew Wiggins is having a hell of a good season for Andrew Wiggins. Podziemski is sliding back. Tresh Jackson-Davis is just okay. He's a nice player, but he's a rotation piece. They don't have those elite pieces. So they have two ways they can go. If there's not a trade piece out there, well, how do you get high in the lottery? How do you get one of those top players? How do you get Cooper Flagg at a Duke? You just say to hell with it. Now, I know that flies in the face of Steph Curry in his age 37 season. I completely understand that. But there's two ways to get better in this league. You trade for it or you draft it, because the Warriors are so far over the cap. There isn't a free agent signing that they're going to – there's no free agent. So the free agent side of things, normally in every sport – free agent, trade, draft, right? Free agent, trade, draft. In baseball, there's an international element. In baseball, there's a Japanese element, all those kind of things. That's all there is. But for the Warriors, there are three ways to get better. There's draft, free agents, and trades. can't sign any free agents because you're far too over the number. And every single year they sign some free agent at the beginning of the year, looks like he's going to be good, and then he's not, like Buddy Hield this year. They do it every single year. Oh, we got this guy for the mid-level exception. I can't believe we got this guy. Saric. You know, it was like the beginning of the season. It's like, wow, they stole this guy. And then, oh, this is why nobody wanted this dude. I get it. Because then they fall out of the rotation and that, you know, mid-level exception or veteran minimum guy doesn't play very much. And so that's all they can do. So there's no free agent add to this team unless there's a really stupid general manager out there. And there used to be in sports, there used to be, but now everybody hoards their young players constantly. Everybody wants, you know, the moon for every player that they trade, unless that player is older and makes way too much money, then they'll work with you on that. But if you got a young player who's got upside and or is cheap, you're just not getting that guy. Now, Zion did sign a new contract. I think he makes $36 million a year at this point. You've got to match that. So even if you were to get Zion, you probably have to give up Wiggins, who's having a great year. You probably have to give up Kuminga. You probably have to give up picks. I mean, you are mortgaging your future, which is something that you said you didn't want to do, but the Warriors are constantly contradicting themselves, right? We have a two timeline. We're trading James Wiseman. We have a two timeline. Oh, Draymond can't get along with Jordan Poole. We're going to mortgage our future. We're going to take Chris Paul. Then we're going to get nothing for Chris Paul. And then Jordan Poole scores 38 the other night against the Warriors, and you scratch your head and go, God, we could use that guy. That would have been pretty cool. So I don't see another way around this. You could just say to Steph, I know this sucks for you, but there's two things you can do with Steph. You're either going to trade Steph. That's why we tank or trade. You can't make a trade, doesn't look like. You can't sign anybody in free agency, and you're going to be too good to get the top players in the draft. You're in the worst possible position you can be if you're the Warriors, dead in the middle. So you got to do one of two things. You either have to decide that something you never thought you would have to do is happening because you're starting to see not so subtle hints from Steph Curry saying, look, unless you do something here, I want to go to a team that can contend. And I don't blame Steph. Do you blame Steph? If Steph wants to win, because that's the only thing left, he's got all the three-point stuff. He's got all the accolades. He's got the MVPs. He's got championships. He wants more championships. That's it. I think what Lund is trying to say is that the Hawks won't trade Trae Young to the Warriors for Pat Spencer. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So give me your thoughts. Yeah, I mean, look, you could trade Draymond Green. I don't know. Hi, sports fan. I don't know what you're going to get for Draymond Green. We were talking about this a little bit last night. And there's a team like Detroit, for example, that's really, really young. And they could use a Draymond Green. They could use that. San Antonio's another younger team that even though they have Chris Paul, they could use Draymond Green. But at this point in his career, I would be interested. What could I get for Draymond Green if I'm the Warriors? You know, what would a team give me? I'd be open to that. There's been many times that we've talked about trading Draymond Green, and I like Draymond Green. Nothing against Draymond Green. Believe me, having said that, the minute he leaves the Warriors, I will not watch him on TNT or anything like that. I don't know what it is about him. He does not have that charm, and we talked about this on the Saturday show, Charles Barkley ripping San Francisco again. It's like, dude, it's not funny anymore, and I don't need to see it at the All-Star game. And if I was the Warriors, I would tell the NBA he's just not welcome. We can go down that road and rant and rave about that. But over the weekend, he ripped San Francisco, called it rat infested again. And it's like, dude, it's not funny. Like, it's not. And I'll play a Kenny Smith thing in a minute, and that is funny. But I'm just saying, like, it's not funny. I like Charles Barkley, but that's not funny. Anyway, I don't need to go off on a tangent on Draymond Green when he's done playing. But, yeah, I don't know what he would get you. I don't know that Draymond Green's going to get you a lot. You know, you've got to match his salary. I don't know. I guess I'm going to look into that. We'll talk about that tomorrow a little bit. I haven't really looked into it a little bit. But let me play this from we played to Steph. He's a little bit angry. I'll get to Kenny Smith in just a second. Let me see if I can get out to the chat and have some discussions. Yeah, I know. Kirby Yates went to the Dodgers. I liked it. By the way, I like that we can do this, just jump all over the place. I saw the Kirby Yates thing this morning right before the show. I wanted to be in a great mood. And I'm sure there's deferrals in there. And I said the other day, don't blame the Dodgers. That was thank you, MF. Appreciate it. Well, T.O. and an Eagles. Nice. Yeah, I know. I saw it. I don't know what they're paying him. I just saw that I think Passan or somebody like that was cheerleading the Dodgers. And you know, that's not great. Not great. Yeah. Nathan's 100% right. That's what I mean. Saric was awesome for like a month. And then it was like, what happened to that guy? Same thing with Buddy Hield. It was like, Buddy Hield, man, this is awesome. Woohoo, Buddy Hield. And all my buddies kept texting me. You'll see. You'll see. Yeah, there you go. We got to start something. I mean, put Cooper Flagg on this team. I don't know. I mean, they do. If you just get in, like, let's say you're one of the five or six worst teams, which the Warriors are working on it, then at least you're in a lottery. You don't even have to be worst. But I'm just saying, like, they blew the pick for Wiseman when they won the 15 games and they had all the injuries. But they were there. If they would have just taken the right guy, if they would have just taken LaMelo Ball, and I understand at the time because LaVar was still being a giant pain in the arse. And Lonzo, and remember LaVar was showing up at the games and he had the big baller brand and everybody around the league is like, oh my God. And all the tape you had to defend the Warriors for just 2 seconds. And then we can go back into anger. You had like, LaMelo was playing in Australia or something like that. And, but there were a lot of people who were like, this dude is legit. And then you knew from like the get go, I was like, whoa, this dude is good. So they've had those chances. We talked about this yesterday a little bit, you know, instead of Wiseman, LaMelo, 2 and 3, instead of Kuminga, Franz Wagner, that was 7-8, instead of Moses Moody, who I really, really like, Sengun, the center for the Rockets. I mean, if you do that, we are talking about championships. Now, you can do that in every single sport, but even if they get one of those guys, even if they get Franz Wagner, or if they get LaMelo Ball, just if they hit one of those three and do it in a different way that they did, then look where they'd be. But they're not. So we'll go to Kenny Smith in just a second, but we have to first acknowledge everybody today. How's everybody? Daniel says, and I don't disagree with you on this thought. I hate to inform you, but Draymond has very little value at this point. The Bucks, maybe if they're desperate enough, it might be worth a late one, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they just as far as Draymond Green is concerned, what you're going to get back for Draymond Green is a contract match and maybe something where if you trade Draymond Green, that means you're trading Steph Curry, because if you go to Steph Curry and you say, hey, Steph, I mean, that's the best they can do for a Batman and Robin, and that's his muscle, and Steph probably doesn't want to play for the Warriors if Draymond Green is around. So if you're going to trade Draymond Green, you've probably made the decision to trade Steph Curry too. And Steph Curry's got value. I mean, if you want to blow the thing to smithereens, but the problem is something that you and I talk about all the time. If this was just basketball we were talking about, if we could just say that there wasn't the business side, but there is the business side, but let's just play fantasy land for just a second. If the Warriors didn't have to turn turnstiles, if the Warriors didn't have, if they didn't want to be on TV and didn't want to be a factor, and these owners have an ego, and Joe Lacob certainly has an ego, Steph Curry is an asset that every team would want to have, because not only does he win you basketball games, the business side is he turns turnstiles, he sells tickets, he gets you on TV, he gets you publicity, all the great things that Steph Curry does, you want to be a part of. The minute Steph Curry walks out the door, the Warriors are the old Warriors. And I don't mean that in a good way. The Warriors are irrelevant again. That's what happens. Now, could they build a lot faster back? Yeah, they could. If you trade Steph Curry, because they're not going anywhere. We've established this, right? They're not going anywhere with Steph. They're not going anywhere without Steph. They're not good enough to make a run in the playoffs. They're not bad enough to get Cooper Flagg from Duke or whomever else. That's the only name I know coming out of the draft right now. I'm sure there's others. But that's essentially where they are. They're in the worst place possible. Joe Lacob by February 6th is not trading Steph Curry, because that's a whole thing where you meet with everybody. You meet with marketing, tickets, all these kind of things, and say, what the hell do we do here? Because you're not going to get equal value for Steph Curry. It's impossible. Draymond Green's a totally different story. I think you could probably get something of value for Draymond Green, not the equal of Draymond Green, but something that could help jumpstart you. Steph Curry, you would hope, could jumpstart you. And teams just want to give away picks. They'd match his salary. You would look at the return and go, ugh, that's terrible. But it may just be that. Like I said, tank or trade. You're going to trade these guys and start over. Or maybe this year you just, I know as crazy as it sounds, just sit everybody out. Try to get a top two or three pick. Try to get the top pick. That's the only thing that's going to happen. Like I said, there's two ways to do this. Free agency's out the window. You're too far over the number. So you've either got to draft somebody who's going to make a huge difference. You get lucky with a Kawhi Leonard who extends the San Antonio window or whatever. Or you make some sort of a trade. And I don't see it. We've talked about this for so long. I just don't see the trade. So anyway, that's tank or trade. Let's play the game that's sweeping the nation. It's called tank or trade. Let's see that. Let's see. Hi, Smiley Dan. No, they're not going to trade. No chance. No chance. And like I said, Smiley Dan, I don't think they're not trading Steph Curry by February 6th. But what I am saying is, if you just joined the show, is that Steph is giving not so subtle hints now. He's kind of greasing the skids as we're seeing it of this isn't acceptable. This isn't acceptable. He's being nice about it. But this premise, and I don't know, I think people are smarter than this and fans are smarter than this. This premise that Steph would never ask for a trade, that's false. That's 100% false. He's telling us after every single bad loss that essentially this is not acceptable. He said, you know, here's where some confusion happened. If you remember back, and we played these cuts for you a number of weeks ago, when Steph Curry, it was a national game. I guess, was it Christmas? I think it was Christmas. It was around Christmas. He does the interview with Malika Andrews. I'll go back and I'll find that. He goes to the, does the interview with Malika Andrews on ESPN and essentially says, yeah, they got to get me some help. We're doing the best we can. I'm working with the front office. You know, we got to get me some help here. I'm getting older. I'm just paraphrasing that whole thing. Then it went, I don't want to mortgage the future. And now it's starting to go, well, I'm not going to be on a mediocre basketball team. If you think that, then you're crazy. So it's, you know, you're starting to kind of get the, he went one way. He kind of went to the middle, and now he's kind of going to the other way that's not so subtly giving the Warriors this, hey, man, this isn't acceptable to me. So if it's not acceptable to him, every other player in the league has done this to an extent that starts to go the other way. Not young players. Young players haven't done this. Jason Tatum hasn't done this. Jaylen Brown hasn't done this. But when a team starts to slip more often than not, what does a player do? He doesn't ride it out. These guys aren't riding out. They're like, let me go. Kevin Durant, James Harden, those kind of guys. And, you know, there's a negative connotation to that, but it's not beyond Steph Curry to say, look, not this offseason. Like I said, there's no way by February 6th and they're going to have an NBA All-Star game here and Steph Curry's not going to be in a Warriors uniform. That's not happening. No friggin' chance. But in the offseason, it would not shock me whatsoever if they continue to struggle. They're 11th in the West right now. They have, like I said, a homestand here after the Kings game tomorrow night of Bulls, Lakers, Jazz, Thunder, Suns. They've got to win. I don't know. How many games is that? Five? I mean, it's got to be a situation, and they're not going to have – it doesn't look like they're going to have Draymond Green for any of those. So, I mean, you got to go like 4-1 and something like that. They're not going to go 4-1 without Draymond Green. I mean, Bulls, yeah, they should win that game. Lakers, toss-up. Jazz, they should win. Thunder, that's going to be tough. Suns, I don't know what Suns team's going to show up. Maybe 3-2. That might be something like that. They're a 500 team at home. So give me your thoughts. Now, this is weird. I'm going to play this thing from Kenny Smith for you. Kenny Smith is really smart. And when you have the reason why that show works, and I think we've had this conversation a million times, but the reason why that show works, and I've been at this for a long time, and they always tell you these consultants, right? These consultants say, you need a dick and a deer and somebody that can relate to. So in other words, somebody's a jerk and somebody's a nice guy. So you want to have somebody that you relate to on a panel like that. So can anybody relate to Charles? Not so much. You know, Shaq's kind of a goof off. So he's kind of a class clown. Somebody can relate to that. And then Kenny Smith is the nice guy, right? You call that the deer, the dick and the deer. Charles is kind of the dick. Kenny is the deer. That's kind of how it started. They added in Shaq for silliness, whatever. So that's, it works because everybody's got a defined role on that show. They have a lot of fun. It's great. Even though Barkley's got to end it with the rat infested thing when it comes to San Francisco. And I think the Warriors should tell him to basically suck it and just be gone. Like, you don't need to come here. Don't worry about it. We don't need you. But anyway, that's beside the point. So Kenny Smith is normally the, what I would call on a show, because we always had this. It certainly wasn't me, but you need a conscience of the show, right? Somebody who can kind of ground the show at times. Ernie does that for sure, but Kenny does that as well. And so this was Kenny's thought. He kind of comped the Lakers and the Warriors, and this was his thought on what the Warriors should do. And I got to be honest with you, man, this was to me. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say what. I just want you to take a listen or take a watch to this, and then you tell me your opinion. Here's Kenny last night at halftime. The Warriors getting blown out by Boston.
You trade. Keep guys like Kuminga, not think about trading. Guys like Kuminga and his age, that group is where they need to be. Where the Lakers, they need to get older players at times to go with LeBron because LeBron handles the ball.
You buying that?
No.
You don't think the Golden State young should get younger?
it doesn't matter what they do unless they go out and get a superstar and try to rebuild on the
court. I don't think they could do that.
Well, that's their only chance because Steph is old.
Do you think this year they go for it? I mean, like a Jimmy Butler?
I think they should try it because who's the only team we're sure of in the West?
OKC.
That's it.
Denver.
Well, Denver going to have to improve their bench.
I disagree with you, man. I think the West is just super tough.
OKC is the best team in the West.
No, but if you look at Golden State,
I'm just asking you a
they're
question.
Not better than any of the Houston
not
Rockets.
Not now.
Memphis, Denver, Clippers.
I said if they made a big trade.
Mavericks?
If they made a big trade is what I said. Getting younger ain't going to make them better.
I'm gonna dismantle to get young.
All right. So what Kenny said there was, and it made no sense to me, it was Happy Gilmore to me. He said, for the Lakers to get better, they have to get older because LeBron handles the ball. He said, for the Warriors to get better, they've got to get younger. When the Warriors won championships, and what Steph said at the beginning of the show, if you just joined us, let me just throw something up on the board here and try to make this make sense. So let me see here. The Boston loss, Curry post. Yeah, this is what Curry said. Asked how long the 2022 title feels. Steph talked about blah, 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 blah. What the Celtics are now, it's the exact opposite. But he said they still have their core. Well, they still have their core because their core is in the prime of their career. So Jason Tatum's in his prime. Jaylen Brown's in his prime. Porzingis could not be as healthy, but Porzingis isn't even 30 years old, even though he seems like he's been around forever. So they've got guys in their prime. That's what it is. When you win championships in any sport, you've got the majority of your team in its prime. Now, you can have a Peyton Manning near the end of his career and a team will carry him to a championship. John Elway, same thing, because he had Terrell Davis and a really good defense. You can have older players. I'm not saying that. But the majority of your great players are in their prime. So if you look at the teams right now, you look at Cleveland and Mitchell and those and the guys that they've got. You can have young guys, but generally speaking, championship teams have a lot of players in their prime. That's what's happening. So we look at the 49ers, for example, and we're like, oh my God, they've got to stay in a window. Look at all these guys who are getting older. When the 49ers hit their first Super Bowl, the guys were around prime or maybe even a little bit younger, and we knew that they had a window. And then last year they lose and guys are getting a little bit older and you get a little scared, right? That, oh my God, can they still extend the window? Well, I think they can. They have enough young players to do it. But if you look at the Warriors right now, they're all either too old or too young. Kuminga's 22, too young. Steph is in age 37 season. Draymond Green is older. So, you know, they're too old and too young. What the Warriors need is, and this is where I'm shaking my head, even though Kenny Smith is normally the conscience of that show along with Ernie, it doesn't make any sense. They need to get younger. Obviously, they need to get younger, but what they need is they need a true number one player in his prime. They don't need to get younger necessarily. I mean, they have young players. And if they have a young player, it needs to be a young, great player. And I don't know that Kuminga's a young, great player. He's a good player right now. I don't know that he's a great player that's going to carry a team. He hasn't been so far. But Bajemski's young. What does that mean? Moody's young. They have young players. Trayce Jackson-Davis is young. They have some young players. But they're mismatched because they have young and they have old. They don't have prime. Who's in their prime? Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is in his prime. That's one player. And he's having a really nice season. But they always seem to be trying to replace him. Like, can we get a better player than Andrew Wiggins? Wiggins has been pretty good. I know that last time out, what was he, 1-for-11, I think I showed yesterday, 1-for-11, 0-for-4 from 3 or whatever. But, I know that he made the All-Star game, but Andrew Wiggins is not a build-around piece. He's the player that's in his prime. If you look at their roster, they don't have – it's not that they're too old, Kenny. They don't have players in their prime. Draymond Green and Steph Curry, if they were on a team with players in their prime – they could absolutely win a championship. There's no question. But the problem with the Lakers and the Suns and the Warriors is they don't have enough players in their prime. Like the Suns, they have Devin Booker in their prime. He's really, really good. They have no depth whatsoever. Bradley Beal plays like an old guy. Kevin Durant is an old guy. Therefore, they don't have enough. I mean, go through every team in every single sport. Look at the teams right now that are in championships. Look at Kansas City. I'm sorry to bring that up. Mahomes is in his prime. Now, Kelsey's a little bit older, but you can have a mix as long as there's a bunch of guys in their prime. And if you look at their defense, they got a bunch of guys in their prime. So you can be too young, but too young and too old means too inconsistent. That's just what it is. Prime guys play good. And baseball is the perfect analogy of this. If a baseball team plays 5 to 6 days a week, then you expect your best players to play well four out of those five games, if not five out of those five games. Old players can't do it. Young players can't do it. That's why you need players in their prime. I'm stating the obvious, but what I'm saying is Kenny Smith says the Warriors need to get younger. Well, no kidding, they do. But before they need to get younger to actually win a championship, they need to get players in their prime. So who's in their prime that they can acquire? Jimmy Butler's too old. You know, let's go on down the line. We don't need to do it for the millionth time, but the players that are being offered to the Warriors potentially, I don't know, Paul George, any of these kind of guys that they want to acquire, they're too old. That's why Lauri Markkanen, even though he's having back issues, and we're looking at this whole thing, he wouldn't have changed anything for the Warriors this year. But he is a 27, 28-year-old guy in the prime of his career. That's what you're looking for. Because if you want to go down the list of things that are in common for any team in any sport, throw college out of it, in any professional sport, that's what it is. You got a bunch of guys in their prime. And then that's what equals a window. So you got guys anywhere from age, 23 to 28 or 23 to 30 or 25 to 30. And you look at your roster and you go, everybody's kind of aging at the same time. That's kind of what your goal is when you're running a team in any professional sport is I want this team to together grow, and then they're going to be in their prime and we're going to be in a window and we can win multiple championships. That's how the Warriors started. When they had Steph and they had Clay and they had Dre and they had Harrison Barnes at the beginning of this whole thing. And then, of course, Durant came in. But again, Durant was in the prime of his career when he was here. So you had all these guys sub 30 years old playing the best basketball of their career and they're winning championships. Yeah, you had a couple of old guys. You added some of those guys. You know, you sprinkled in an old guy. You sprinkled in a young guy. Jordan Poole came along. This. But now it's a bunch of old guys, a bunch of young guys, and not enough guys in their prime. So when Kenny's saying, and this totally confused me, the Lakers need old guys. The Warriors need young guys. They both need guys in their prime. That's what they need. So anyway, just saying. That was weird. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why he said they need to get young. Yeah, they need to get young. Kuminga's young. Pajemski's young. Trayce Jackson-Davis is young. Moses Moody is young. I mean, there's four young players right there, but they're not good enough to get the Warriors where they need to go. And our internal question about Jonathan Kuminga is, will he be ready in time? Check the oven. Nope. Still needs to cook a little bit more. Not quite ready to go. He's 22. He may not time out. How many times have we talked about this? A million. Anyway, that's all. I found that to be weird. What else do we have today? Do you want to get into some? So that's the WTF Kenny part of things. Do you want to get into the NFL and Robert Saleh and all these kind of things? Or do you have something else on your mind today? Let me see. What else do we have? Oh, people are talking about the old Mavs teams with Mashburn and JJ and Jimmy Kidd and Jason Kidd. I almost said Jimmy Kidd. What was that all about? Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's go to a little NFL talk. And I'm a little bit saucy on this stuff this morning. I guess I'm in a saucy mood regardless. Here's the latest on Robert Saleh. Former Jets coach Robert Saleh will have a second in-person interview with the Jags. I don't love to hear that. Look at that steely-eyed look, by the way. I want that back on the 49ers sideline. That's not great if you're a fan of the 49ers because we discussed this a little bit last night. A lot of people do not want Mr. Staley as the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, and I don't blame him, and I'll get into that in just a second. But the first time around, Robert Saleh, I don't know if he's met with the Cowboys. I don't know if he's met with the Raiders. The Raiders lost Ben Johnson to the Bears yesterday. I'm sure you saw that already. But you don't bring a guy around a second time. Robert Saleh is a minority candidate. So when I look at the Rooney Rule, which I think is a joke, I think the Rooney Rule should be for young and upcoming assistants, whether they be college or pro, kind of like what the 49ers did by bringing in the Iowa State offensive coordinator / wide receivers coach so that Kyle Shanahan, people get to know him, he gets on the radar. That's what the Rooney Rule was supposed to be. It wasn't necessarily that we're going to hire that person. It's just at the very least, you were going to get guys who really hadn't been, had those kind of interview opportunities. You were going to get them in front of people, and then you were going to start their upward career, which is kind of a cool thing. So with Robert Saleh, initially I thought, are these teams just the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, are they just saying, okay, we've checked that off the list, we've talked to X amount of minority candidates? I wouldn't think that with Robert Saleh being as successful as he's been as a defensive coordinator as a head coach. But the fact that he's going to Jacksonville for a second look, especially given the fact that they've kind of been a dumpster fire over the last few years. And a lot of teams, we talk about this all the time. When you go one way, a lot of times with the next coach, you're going to go another. So Doug Peterson, the visor-wearing offensive mind, former coach of the Jaguars, maybe you go a defensive guy that's a little bit more serious in Robert Saleh. That could be. So that maybe is legit. And then if that's the case, and I don't know when and if he's going to have interviews with the Raiders or the Cowboys, but then obviously that wouldn't leave him to be the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, and a lot of people are speculating now that may not happen. So then that would leave, I know who that would leave, because a lot of people are thinking that Staley is going to be the defensive coordinator. Now, there's a couple of things there. First of all, I honestly don't know how good of a defensive coordinator he is. B, I don't know how much and what he did necessarily with the 49ers, but I do know this. If your defense was ranked 26th as the 49ers defense was, and he was the overseer of the fired new defensive coordinator, the inexperienced defensive coordinator in Nick Sorensen, and now he's being considered for the job itself, that I don't like that much. He did preside over the number one defense with the Rams, which got him a job with the Chargers. And I guess what I would say to be a little bit optimistic here is, just because a guy's a bad head coach doesn't mean he's going to be a bad defensive coordinator. He did coordinate well. I do know this for a fact. Kyle Shanahan likes him, respects him, thinks he's very, very smart. My question back to Kyle would be, then why didn't he help the defense more? Why wasn't he better? Why wasn't the defense better? But it's going to be his call. John Lynch is going to be part of it. I don't see any rumors of other defensive coordinators. Jeff Ulbrich ends up in Atlanta, so you don't have that fallback option. It looks like Dennis Allen is going to go to the Bears to be with Ben Johnson as his defensive coordinator. You don't have that option. I'm not a big Dennis Allen fan anyway. Dealt with him a lot with the Raiders. I've told you this many times. He's a flatline. He's just like, doesn't do anything for me. So that one doesn't do anything. And then you start looking at Anarumo. Lou Anarumo went to Indianapolis. Al Golden, the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame, they had one of the best defenses in the country. He's been in the NFL. He's going to go to, I think, Cincinnati. I think they were saying Cincinnati, they were going to wait. And so he's going to be gone. So all of a sudden, I guess one thing that is concerning me with the 49ers, and maybe they know what they're doing. The 49ers, despite this season, are a good organization, so they deserve the benefit of the doubt. The Giants at this point don't. But the Niners right now deserve the benefit of the doubt. So I don't know what they're doing. I think what they are, well, I do know what they're doing. They're waiting for Robert Saleh to finish his tour of head coaching. And if Saleh doesn't get any of those jobs, then Saleh is going to be the defensive coordinator. Where my concern would come in is, what's the backup plan? Because all these guys are right around you. Boom, 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 boom. They're being grabbed up. And you had, Kyle said this at the press conference to end the year, they get an extra month than what they would have gotten. So they're not in the playoffs. They've got to replace these guys. The advantage they have is, yeah, guys get a rest and all these different things. But also the advantage is you let your special teams coordinator, you let your defensive coordinator go, and you had kind of your pick of the litter. And then this will lead me into my next thought, which is, okay, if it's not Robert Saleh, then is it Staley? Or is it, you don't want to go young again. You just did. But then it leads me into this as well. So special teams, we've known for half the season, and I've preached this from the highest rooftops, fire the special teams coordinator. Brian Schneider shouldn't have been, I mean, this shouldn't have gone off into the offseason. This should have been midway through the season or earlier. They had the worst special teams. They were costume games. They were momentum turning plays. You know, you're watching this stuff. You know, you don't need me to tell you that. So then I see this, and the Titans are hiring John Bones Fossil as their special teams coordinator, a big hire for Brian Callahan. I don't know if they just didn't have a chance. I don't know if they weren't interested. I don't know if who they want to hire is in the playoffs and they have a wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal. But I do know this. John's Bone Fossil is one of the best special teams coordinators. He's got a Rams logo on there. He was with Dallas. You probably know that he authored the new kickoff rule, whether you like it or not. So he's probably got some insight into that. I don't even know if they're going to keep it. But I do know that Bones is one of the best special teams, most respected special teams coordinators in the league. So maybe the 49ers already have a guy in mind. Maybe they reached out to Bones. He was fired in Dallas because Mike McCarthy was fired, so the entire staff could go look for new gigs. And the Titans are the worst team in football. Maybe he wanted to live in Nashville and not Santa Clara. I have no idea. I have no insight into this. All I know is that the minute that Mike McCarthy was let go, that there should have been a phone call between the 49ers and Fossil, and there wasn't. And, of course, there is a connection there. Jim Fossil was his father, since passed away. But Bones Fossil is one of the best special teams coordinators out there. And as far as I know, they didn't make contact. They didn't talk to him. And there he is now in Tennessee. So maybe this turns out wonderfully. Maybe this turns out amazingly well for the 49ers. And Robert Saleh is the defensive coordinator. And whoever it is that they wanted to be the special teams coordinator is just sitting out there on a playoff team and they're not ready to announce yet. But as of this moment, Robert Saleh could get a gig either with the Jags, the Cowboys, or the Raiders. And then you got to go to a backup plan there. And the best special teams guy on the market went to Tennessee. That's what it looks like so far. Could be wrong. I could be dumb. They do deserve the benefit of the doubt in my mind. But right now I'm going, what are you doing? That's just me. I could be wrong. But that's where we are. Brandon Staley, like I said, a lot of people are going to puke and moan and get mad and all those kind of things. I don't know if you're going to puke. Probably not going to puke. But a lot of people are not really happy that it would be Brandon Staley as the backup plan. And I'm going to be 100% honest, and I think a lot of people think this way. I don't know what he did. It was kind of a, Kyle was asked this numerous times. What do you do here? What exactly do you do here? Well, a little this, a little that. Like, we don't know. If you want to think positively, he was the defensive coordinator for the Rams when they had the number one defense in the league, got the Chargers job, was not a good head coach. There's no doubt about it. Was not a good head coach. Made Dan Campbell seem conservative. And I think that if he could sprinkle a little bit of that dust on Kyle Shanahan so that he could be a little less conservative, but not to the point of what Brandon Staley did as a head coach of the Chargers. But I'll say this again and again and again. Because you're not a good head coach does not mean you won't be a good coordinator. There are plenty of good coordinators who are not good head coaches. Like Dennis, a lot of people think Dennis Allen is a great defensive coordinator. I can tell you, having covered him with the Raiders, he's a terrible head coach. He doesn't communicate. He has no energy. He's not a head coach to me. And he's proven it now with New Orleans and the Raiders, but he's a hot candidate to be the defensive coordinator. I think he's going to be the defensive coordinator of the Bears. You know, we've seen it. You know, if you want to go back years and years and years, Norv Turner wasn't a great head coach. He was a really good offensive coordinator. On and on and on and on and on. You know, a lot of people are like, Ben Johnson's going to the Bears. The Bears are going to be in the playoffs. Oh, my God. He's Caleb Williams, this and that. We'll see. Because you're a great offensive or defensive coordinator does not mean you're going to be a great head coach. It means you can call games well. You can do this. You can do that. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. You're not just the offensive coordinator. In fact, that's why, you know, we've talked about it in the offseason. Kyle Shanahan needs help. He needs a defense. This is why I get nervous about the defensive coordinator slot. I don't want Kyle Shanahan worrying about the defense. I want Kyle Shanahan worrying about the offense. I want Kyle Shanahan to have an assistant that he trusts on the offensive end that he'll call an offensive coordinator, but he's still going to call plays. Somebody that he respects that he can bounce things off of. We've talked about it. Hey, Kyle, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe we're too predictable in the red zone. Somebody that he absolutely trusts. So I'd like that to get done. I'd like a defensive coordinator where Kyle doesn't have to worry about that. And even though Kyle Shanahan made it 100% clear and John Lynch backed him up on this, Kyle doesn't hate special teams. Kyle doesn't ignore special teams. All right, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he says he doesn't. John Lynch says he doesn't. But I would really like somebody the same thing, an adult in the room, somebody who's been really successful at it, not somebody young. It sounds like Mike Silver said that it's not going to be Nick Sorensen. So who has coached special teams before, and I would have had no problem as if Nick Sorensen was the special teams coordinator. But no more of this, hey, we're in a Super Bowl window, but let's hire a guy with no experience. Nah. Don't want that. So we'll see. And I know a lot of people are, let me just pop this up one more time. I know a lot of people would scream and yell and get mad if Brandon Staley was the defensive coordinator. I think you could do worse. And to be honest, it's hard to have an opinion because I don't know what he did as far as overseeing the defense. All I know, and I understand why you would be angry if he was the guy, because A, a lot of people don't like him. He doesn't have that warm, cuddly personality, which is fine. I don't need a defensive coordinator to have that. I do want him to be fiery and all that kind of stuff, like Saleh was. But I don't know what he did for the defense, but I do know that the defense wasn't very good. And so then you're going to hire a guy from that group, and they weren't very good. So, yeah, I can see why the fan base would be like, So there's that. Anybody else want to talk NFL or 49ers? So there's the Salah Staley fossil right there. College football, I'd be interested to know if you watched the game last night, what your thoughts were of the game last night. I made a bunch of notes because we did a post-game show. Here's what I know, that Ohio State just has a ridiculous amount of talent. Both of those running backs are going to be in the NFL. Judkins had a great game. What do you have, two rushing, one receiving, plus a long run? The kid Jeremiah Smith is, I mean, I'm not going to say this because he's a freshman, and everybody wants to jump to this very quickly. Like, you see a guy for the first time, and then you're like, well, he's the greatest. And Ohio State is, in LSU, is wide receiver U. But, I mean, when you're looking at the type of guys that they've put into the league, Harrison Jr. being the latest, but Smith and Jigba and Olave and Wilson and the type of guys they put in the league, and then all of a sudden you see this guy, Jeremiah Smith, and he's a freshman. And he's what's right and what's wrong with college football, and I'll get to that in just a second. But they just had too much talent. The receivers are great. Abuka is Ohio State's leading all-time wide receiver. And yet, while he was there, he was never the best receiver. He was never the best single receiver. He had a big fumble in that game, but he's really good, number two. So he's going to the pros, and he'll probably be a first or a second-round pick. Both of those running backs generally don't get taken in the first round. Genty will this year. I don't know if anybody else will. But, I mean, both of those running backs, Henderson and Judkins, will be guys that are going to be really good. Will Howard was what typically we have in college football now. He was a hand-picked quarterback from Kansas State. None of the great teams anymore are going to have a young quarterback. Oh, we're going to have an off year. We're going to have to develop that damn young quarterback. That's not going to happen anymore in college football. Not at all. It's just going to be transfer. I mean, think about it. Riley Leonard, Notre Dame, championship game, transferred from Duke. And Will Howard, Ohio State quarterback, transferred from Kansas State. They're one-year guys. But it just came down to this. Great House, the wide receiver for Notre Dame, was great. Notre Dame just didn't have the talent to hang with Ohio State. Ohio State was the best team. So I love the playoff in general, the 12-team playoff. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the near future they expanded it to 16, because all that means is another round and more money. So I wouldn't be surprised about that. I thought the month was cool. I thought it worked. I'm sure they're going to look at that whole thing where the conference winners and so forth got byes, because I think in that second round, none of the higher seeds won. So Arizona State was given the bye, right? Boise State was given the bye, et cetera, and none of those teams won. So they'll probably look at that. And I know they're biased against the big, you know, they want the big schools. They want Texas in there. They want more SEC. They want Bama. They want Georgia. You know, that's what they want, those fan bases to travel. They want Notre Dame again, which, by the way, Notre Dame's the team that won the most. They didn't have a conference, and they didn't have to share any of the money. So I just thought it was really cool. I thought the whole thing was really, really good. I thought it was well done. Could they tweak some things? Yeah. But then college football is so weird to me, because you can have this great tournament. I think it's great, too, because what it makes teams do, and they flash this up at the end of the national championship game, some of the games that are going to be the first games of the year, because nobody's afraid to play anybody anymore, because they realize that, so we lose a game or two, we're still in the hunt for the national title. We can still win our conference. So it's made college football all around better. Teams aren't going to play. Well, they still are, the SEC teams. You know, teams aren't going to play, I don't know, South Dakota State or Morgan State or whatever the team is from the middle of nowhere, you know, Louisiana, Monroe. I mean, you're still going to see a few of those games, but they're going to play better games. There's no question. They're going to challenge each other. I don't think there's any question about that. So the game itself, they just had a great season. Great idea to, you know, it's long overdue that they would have this playoff and expand it. They should probably expand it to 16 games. They should probably not give automatics. I mean, they should give automatics, but they shouldn't seed them the way they did. They're going to tweak some of these things, and they're going to tweak it so that the big boys can play each other, so that there's more money and more eyes and more ears and more ratings and this, that, and the other. They're going to find a way to manipulate that thing. But the weirdest thing to me is now, like, I want to bring up Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver that had that 57-yard catch down the right sideline, had the first touchdown, and then had the 57-yarder and that third down. That, too bad, because I would have liked to have seen Notre Dame get the ball back, just because I wanted a good game. But Jeremiah Smith catches the 57-yarder. He's a 6'4", 225-pound freshman. And right now what's going on is he's got an agent. And so he's sitting around, and you got 4 days after the bowl game to declare whether you're going into the portal or not. And he's got to. Unless Ohio State has already given him $3 or $4 or $5 million, whatever it is. But I think that a good quarterback now, it went from $1 million for a good quarterback to now I think it's $2 million for a good quarterback. And didn't Carson Beck from Miami, the former Georgia quarterback, didn't he get $4 million to go to Miami and replace Cam Ord? So that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a shell game, especially for quarterbacks, every single year. Like Sam Levitt, the kid at Arizona State, was a freshman. He's already transferred from Michigan State. They finished seventh in the poll. He's a freshman, and he has to announce that he's coming back. I mean, it was just like, it's crazy. And I think Arizona State paid him $3 million to come back. So if you're Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver for Ohio State, unless, like today, he's got an agent negotiating, and he's not going to make the $3 million that a quarterback's going to make, and maybe he will. You know, that's where I think Oregon is like, how does Oregon not win this thing every single year? They've got Uncle Phil. He runs Nike. How does Uncle Phil not reach out to Jeremiah Smith's agent and say, whatever the hell the kid wants, he gets. He gets Nikes for life, no matter what kind he wants, he gets. He could have the ultimate shoe closet, and here's $5 million. That doesn't, that he has that in his couch cushions, does Phil Knight. So I can't believe that Oregon's not going to get everybody, but we're going to see that. All these young guys who come up that are freshmen, you're thinking, man, Jeremiah Smith, he can come out after his junior year to the NFL, but he's going to be awesome for the next couple of years. True freshman, awesome player. And all of a sudden you're like, where did that guy go? So, you know, Ohio State's Ohio State. So if anybody's going to keep the majority, if not all of their guys, it's going to be them. But you will see after this game that players who played in the national title game who are young players are like, they got their hand out. And why wouldn't you? Especially guys who probably aren't going to go to the pros. Like Jeremiah Smith's going to the pros, but he sure as hell ain't going to play for free at Ohio State next year. Like he's like, sorry, where am I going? Who's got the biggest wallet? Ohio State's got a really big one, but we'll see, because Oregon should be able to grab everybody. Now there is some stuff out there that says that there's going to be like a $20 million max on what they can do. But once they've opened this, honestly, the horse out of the barn kind of a thing, like, are they really going to be able to do that? Like if a kid's nowadays, it used to be, and even when I was in college, we had this running back. I went to Utah State. We had this running back. His name was Eddie Johnson. And this was a cool car back in the day. I'm aging myself. It was an RX-7. It was made by Mazda. And this dude, he didn't come from money. I knew him. He was in the broadcast department. He'd come like once a year and everything. And then on, this is a totally different story, but on graduation day, I saw him and I'm like, you're still in the broadcast wing? I haven't seen you for 2 years, but anyway, I digress. He had the coolest car on campus, and that was back in the day. And that kind of stood out. Like we were like, clearly he's getting paid, but we didn't say anything. It was like, whatever, guy's getting paid. But nowadays it's like, how would you know the difference? You know, Shedeur Sanders is driving up in a Rolls Royce Ghost. Like he's pulling up in like a $700,000 car. Now, if it was the old days, it was like, okay, somebody clearly is getting paid. But nowadays it's like, how would you know? So now the guy's getting paid. It's like, $20 million is all we can spend. Please. It's already out of the barn. So in one way, college football is awesome. The playoff is awesome. Everybody's playing everybody. I don't love the shift with the proximity as far as like, I'd love to still have the Pac-12. The fact that you're seeing teams go to the Midwest and all these kind of things. I didn't love that. I think at some point they should just say, look, this is what it is. You know, we're going to have a bunch of divisions of different things, but can we keep the West Coast and the West Coast and the South and the South, and Cal doesn't have to go play teams in the ACC? I mean, that's not cool. Yeah, RX-7. There you go, Pine Needle. RX-7 was it was cool. And we're like, come on, man. You guys got an RX-7? Here I am driving around like a 1972 Subaru in Eddie Johnson, you know, who doesn't attend class at all. Nobody's like, come on, man. We can see that. Yeah, rotary motor. Did anybody know what a rotary motor? Hi, Jacob. Did anybody know what a rotary? They called it a rotary motor. Like, what's a rotary motor? I know what a rotary phone was. What a hell of rotary thing. See, there you go. Look at this. I didn't know we were going to have this. AJ, at Dad Gudzerik, old UCLA center. I saw him driving a new Escalade on campus back in the early aughts. Yeah, that's what I mean. You knew those dudes were getting paid. You're like, come on, man. Dad Gudzerik, number 50 for UCLA. Nice job, man. That's a nice pull right there. But anyway, you get my drift. Like all of a sudden, we've got a $20 million limit. How are you going to, how the heck are you, what are you keeping books? Like nobody's keeping books now. There's no way the genie's going back in the bottle of this whole thing. I just, for as great as I think the season was, and you completely disagree with me on this, and maybe you hate college football altogether, but I love the playoff. I love what they did. Last night was cool. I wish Notre Dame would have had a final shot. You know, there wasn't enough good games necessarily in the playoffs. The one thing is, and again, this is just part of the process. I don't know that I watched a bowl game outside of, you know, the games that were in the playoffs. I think the bowls are probably going to slowly go away, and they need those because, you know, you want young guys to get some reps and you want to practice a little bit longer and all those kind of things. But to me, it was like, I'm going to watch a bowl game, which means nothing. No, And, you know, we'll get to Tolbert here in a second because I have him on my chalkboard. Tolbert would watch because he had money on the game. I mean, that's the only way to make those games interesting. But I don't think I watched a bowl game. So, I mean, there's positive, there's negative. The whole portal thing is absolutely the Wild West. I would like them somehow to put a muzzle on this thing, but I can't see them being able to do it. So there's the good and the bad of college football. Nobody's in control. Nobody's in control of college football. So it's going to continue to do what it's done. And then they're going to make rules so that the big guys always have the advantage over the little guys. Because with like Boise State, Arizona State, some of these teams getting an automatic bid into the second round, they're going to do away with that. They're going to be like, whoa, not doing it. So give me your thoughts on college football. I thought by and large, it was great. Ohio State just had too much talent last night. I mean, it was just very, very simple. Those backs, those receivers, three or four of those guys in the offensive line are going to be going to the league. That Simmons kid, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a 49ers uniform. He played tackle last night, but I think he's more of a guard. Anyway, there you go. Oh, well, you want to get into first car conversations? JJ Raider says, my first car was an 87 Cadillac Sedan DeVille. How could you see over the steering wheel at 13 on one of those things? Have I told you guys the pink Cadillac? I have, haven't I? You guys know this story, don't you? First car stories, everybody. This is beautiful. Mitsubishi. Man, didn't Mitsubishi make about 10 different things? Like, it was like, what are you making a car now? Wow. Look at this. I love this. Oh, look, at here's an explanation for the rotary motor. Thank you, Pine Needle. John, the rotary motor spins and pulls the gas in along with the air at the same time, brother. There you go. I did not know that. My first car was, it was really cool, and my dad never should have given it to me. So we had a Chevy Blazer, one of those old ones, like late 70s, and the top came off the back of it and all that kind of stuff. And it was really cool. It had big wheels on it. Had a 400 engine. Like, you could hear me come down the road. Like, brrr. I mean, the thing was so loud. And it was my dad's pride and joy. And we used to pull a boat with it and everything. And then he started getting company cars. And he gives me this thing. It was a 1978 Chevy Blazer. It was blue and white. You've probably seen one. It had, like, white wheels on it. It was by far the coolest car that any of my friends had. And I was a little bit older, and so I was one of those guys that, you know, I got my license earlier than most. And so what we would do on the weekends is we would pack that thing up. I would, especially in the summer, I would take the top off of it, so you only had, like, just a, you know, just above me in the passenger, and then the whole back and the seats went down was all open air. So I would take, like, six or eight wild guys, and we would just drive around, and we'd go to parties and everything, and we'd just pile tons of guys into my car, and it was a wild, and we're just driving down the road. Guys are hanging out, you know, just crazy. I mean, that was back in the day too, where it was like, I guess you could do that, but yeah, there you go. 79 Chevy Silverado. Exactly. The thing got like 4 miles to the gallon, and it was loud. It was so loud. In fact, let me see if I can pull up a picture of it it was hilarious. And my dad completely regretted it. Let me see. 78 blue Chevy Blazer. He absolutely regretted it because I used to think, oh, I can just run over. Oh, this is exactly like this. Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can pull this up. Kind of like this, very similar to this, but had like white big wheels on it. Let me pull this thing up for you. It's exactly like this. Man, somebody selling this for it. Oh, this is a few years ago. All right. It looked a lot like this, and that back white piece would come off. Let me see if I can. Let me share this with you real quick here. Yeah, perfect. That's good. It looked better than this, and it had big white wheels on it. But let me share my screen with you, and I can show you what my first car was. Very similar to this. Share screen. Yes. 78 Blazer. Share. Yeah, see that right there? That's exactly what I had right there. Yeah, except it had big old wheels on it, like big old wheels and tires. Like, that has boring wheels and tires. But you see that back part? That white camper shell, that thing came off. So the front part you had, and then the back part we would take off all the time. And then we'd take that thing up skiing and everything. Cause again, same kind of a situation. We lived in Utah the last couple of years. I was in Southern California. My dad started a company my junior and senior year. We went to Utah, which was culture shock, but we were about 10 miles away from ski resorts, which was awesome. So we'd skip school, go to ski resorts. I would take that thing up. And then in the summertime, I'd take that back part off that thing. And man, it had a big old 400 engine in it. This thing was like massive, huge thing. And we just load everybody in that sucker. Anyway, there you go. Chevy Blazer. There it is. I stopped sharing that. What do you think of that? Yeah, that was my first one. I thrashed that thing. I was driving to school one time. I'm not proud to admit this. I was driving to school one time, and a bunch of buddies in my of mine, and we were near the end of the school year, and I was going too fast around a corner. I had a pickle jar full of vodka. I was going too fast around a corner, and I took out this the front yard by my high school. I took out their trees, like their whole front yard, just boop, 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 one after the other. Thank God somebody wasn't walking on the sidewalk. I was racing to a friend's house so we could drink vodka before like the last day of school. So I trashed it that day. And then a couple of times I ran over like curbs and things because I thought, oh yeah, this thing can run over anything. My dad took it away from me probably a year and a half later because I was going to go away to school. And he was like, you're not taking this thing. Like, there's no frigging way. And they bought, like, that's why I said about the Subaru. Then my second car was like a two-door Subaru hatchback, like white, boring, slow, worth like $1,000. Like, my dad was like, this is it. This is what you get to go to college. You're not taking this. Yeah, I know. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of the vodka in a pickle jar. It was true. I had taken a pickle jar, put cheap vodka in it. I had taken a pickle jar, put vodka in it. It was the last day of school. My friend lived right by the high school, so I'd come racing around this corner, and I was going too fast, and I took out a bunch of trees, and then I just kept driving. And then, of course, you know, later, I went back there after school and said, yeah, I took out your, yeah, we didn't drink the pickle jar of vodka. I gave it to my friend. I'm like, yeah, I just took out this guy's yard. I think I'm probably in trouble. So probably not a good idea to drink vodka and then go tell him sorry about his front yard. Yeah, that was the end of the blazer, by the way. My dad took it that then and there. He's just like, kidding me? You think I'm going to let you keep this thing? No way. Just took it. The whole front end was all messed up and everything. And I drove it home that day. And yeah, I don't remember what I said, but he parked it in the garage for like 6 months. I didn't have a car or anything, so I'm riding my bike again. Here I'm at 18 going, hi, you want to go on a date? My dad just left it in the, it wasn't really wrecked badly. It was just, it had some front end damage to it. And he just left it right in the front, took the keys and just said, you can look at that thing for the next 6 months. And then I thought I was going to get it back at some point. He got it fixed. And then the next day he goes, I need $500 from you. I was working like some summer job and I was going to college the next year. And he said, I need $500. And so I gave him the $500. I thought it was so that I could get the blazer back. He keeps the blazer. He puts in $500 and he buys me this white Subaru two-door hatchback that probably had 100,000 miles and goes, that's going to be your car in college. I'm like, oh, but yeah, he's right. Absolutely 100% right. So I had a first car, then I had a second jar. Yeah. Pickle jar full of vodka. It was not my finest moment. I would agree with you, JP from the 510. From the 510, drank a lot of vodka during my high school days. Easiest vodka. Yeah. Because, here's the thing too. You could steal vodka from your parents, but the problem is that it depends on what your parents drink. So my dad drank a lot of scotch, but they had everything across the board. The only thing he would leave out after a while, he started locking the liquor cabinet and he would leave out just as a joke. He would leave out a big thing of scotch, of Dewars. I hated scotch. I like scotch now. But I hated scotch. So he'd put it on top of the liquor cabinet and be like, if you want to drink scotch, go for it. And he knew that I hated scotch. But for a while there, you think you're smart. You know, you're in high school. You're like, I'll just put water in the vodka. Little did I know that my dad liked to drink martinis. Like if he was going to drink vodka, he would drink two things, a Bloody Mary in the morning or a martini. And so you can hide it a little bit, but my dad liked to taste the booze. So after a while, it was like, this is just pure water. So one time he poured a martini, shook it, put an ice cube in there, took a sip of it. And it was, you know, 3/4 to almost all water. And he's like, John, what come in here? It's like, taste this martini. I'm like, I think at the time I'm like 17 or 18. I'm like, you know, let me taste this martini. He's like, yeah, taste this martini. Take a sip of it. And I'm like, and right away I knew. I'm like, oh no, he knows. He's like, I need $50. Because, you know, it wasn't like he was going to let me get away with that. He's like, no, you're buying me new vodka. You're buying me new vodka right now. And if you ever touch my vodka again. So, yeah, vodka was the easiest to steal because you could put it in a pickle jar and you thought you were being smart. You put water in it. And it was like, no, not for a guy who drinks martinis. I didn't know. Like, I don't know what he's drinking in there. I don't know what a martini is. I'm 18. I suck it out of a pickle jar. Can steal. They would never put it down long enough. Believe me, brother. That's my house too. My parents, I'm not going to call them functioning alcoholics, but man, it was, you know, like I'll go like, I don't really drink during the week, to be honest. Every once in a while, I will. Friday, I'll definitely put some Bailey's in my coffee. I don't know if that's a problem for me that I don't consider that drinking, but I don't. But man, I mean, it went fast in our house, and we had people over all the time. And my dad, we had a rule in my house. I've probably told you this before in the air, but I'll tell it again. So when my dad came home from work, and then we'll get back to first cars in a second because, yeah, there you go. Did the fry man found the vodka angle to this? Yeah, he knew. He knew. And we got older and we laughed about it. But he didn't laugh for very long when it was water vodka. He did not like water vodka. But no, I forgot which story I was going to tell. I was going to tell a tremendous story. It might have been the best of your life. So I'll get back to it. I'll remember it at some point. Oh, that's a bad first car right there, Antonio. My best first car, my youth, was my 84 Dodge Astro minivan with, oh my God. A minivan wouldn't have been bad back in the day. Like, you know, because I don't know about you. We had a back parking lot, right? In the back parking lot, you know, wanted to skip a class or something like that, or guys would go back there and get high or whatever the case may be. And if you had a minivan, I mean, you could probably, I don't know how fixed up your minivan was, or if it had one of those, you know, one of those little windows or whatever the case, or maybe it was just, you know, one of those ones, whatever, it looked like a work van or something. But man, I mean, you're back there. It's like, even if you got something decent back there, put a sleeping bag back there and take a couple of classes off. I mean, that wouldn't be so bad. 86 Honda Accord. Honda is always good. Like, I wish my dad would have bought me a Honda instead of the Subaru. And Subarus go forever, but like, we trashed that Subaru because I think it had four-wheel drive and you could just put it into four-wheel drive. And we went through sand dunes, and I mean, we took that thing on epic spring breaks and drove it everywhere. I drove that thing from Utah to Palm Springs one time. It's like 110 in Palm Springs. Don't. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Frisco native 415. You had a 77 Camaro with a T-top. I bet you were just having to beat him off with a stick, man. I mean, geez, that thing, a 77 Camaro with a T-top. My sister had, and this made me so mad because I was the youngest. And usually the youngest gets spoiled. My sister got spoiled. She was the favorite. By far, she was the favorite. If my mom's watching, she knows. So she might have got graduated high school and they gave her this, but she got a 1983 Camaro with a T-top on it. And one time I was allowed to take that car. I took it to homecoming or something like that. And I took the T-top off that thing. And now back in the day, that was something. In fact, she got married. This is a great story. She gets married, right, in like 1986 or something like that. And they tell me, and I'm at the height of my not-to-be-trusted stage of my life, massively immature. So she gets married, and my dad throws me the keys to her car, which was a bitchin' car at that particular point, this T-top Camaro. And he says to me, and we're at the chapel or whatever, she's just gotten married, and he says to me, very direct instructions. We were going to some country club that was probably 20 miles away for the reception. And he says, I don't trust you. I don't trust you at all, but we don't have anybody else to drive. My sister's name is Julie. We don't have anybody else to drive Julie's Camaro to the reception. You drive it there. You drive it straight there and you don't go anywhere else. You understand me? And I said, yeah, completely. Yeah, you can trust me, Dad. Gotcha. So I'm in a tuxedo. I'm looking about as good as I possibly could ever look. He throws me the keys to this T-top Camaro. I take it off. I start cranking some 80s rock or something. And the first thing I think is, whose house can I stop by to impress a girl? So I must have gone to three or four girls' houses, just one after the other. And it was in a place where this reception was in a fancy like country club place. But I knew like three or four different girls who lived within this country club area. It was by my high school. And so, of course, I drive to all their houses. Honk, honk. And, you know, back in the day, there's no cell phone at that point. I just go right to the door. Hey, how's it going? Want to go for a ride? I swear, it took me 2 hours to get to that thing. And not only was he pissed because, you know, I'm the brother of the bride, so I'm supposed to be doing some sort of something or other, a toast or this or that. So just for the sake of conversation, the ceremony ended at like 3 o'clock. It was probably a half hour away from this place. And it was on like kind of twisty freeway. So I'm driving like terribly. And then I'm thinking to myself, where can I go? And I'm just like, I'm going here. I'm going here. I'm going here. I swear. I went to like three or four girls' houses, honked, walked up to the place in my tuxedo thinking I was really cool. You know, want to go for a ride. Like, they're just all looking at me too. Like, what is wrong with you? And then I ended up getting to the reception at like 5. The reception started at 4. My dad is hot. I mean, he is hot. I thought you wrecked. I thought, because again, there's no, it's not a cell phone. He's not calling me. And if there was a cell phone back in that day, it cost like $9,000 a minute. And it was one of those big brick phones. I think there was actually the cell phones, like the giant brick cell phone that was like, you can't, this is just in case of the biggest emergency of your life, because seriously, it was like $9,000 an hour or $9,000 a minute to talk on a cell phone back then. Anyway, that's my story. And it just brought on by a Camaro, which was a really cool car back in the day. Yeah, my Subaru, I'm telling you, man, Enrique, the Subaru that I had was so bad. It was just basic white. I don't even think it had rims on it. It was four-wheel drive, though, and we thrashed that thing. Thrashed it. But it lasted. It did what it had to do. It lasted like 3 years of college or something like that. Same thing with my son. I'm praying that he can get through. And because of the pandemic, used cars were the same as new cars. So I bought him a new Toyota, nice car, and I'm just praying that he can keep that thing through 4 years. And you know what I had in my white Subaru equals chick magnet. No, not so much. No, it was not that. It was absolutely not my high point. No, not my high point. I don't know what has been my high point. It was, certainly was not that. What else? Yeah, absolutely. Branches. Yeah, branches in the grill, the whole thing. I drove home and like, what? My dad's like, I didn't even realize there was damage to it. I thought, well, this thing will just, you know, it's a tank. It'll just run over everything. No problem whatsoever. It'll just run on, you know, it'll just run over everything. There's no problem with this car. I didn't even check. Man. Joy says nothing new to a close. Believe me, I didn't want to buy him a new car, but just for the sake of conversation, I bought him this Toyota hybrid. And I think it was like, I don't know, 27 or 30 grand. And during the pandemic, you probably know this. The only thing you could get was a used car. You couldn't get new cars. I mean, you could order them. It would take months. So you had to buy used cars, and used cars were through the roof. So for the same price as used, I bought him a new, and I thought, oh, he's going to be responsible. And he is responsible. But man, this thing, he is not, but he is not, the car is, he's not keeping it so clean. I'm not loving that. I am not loving that whatsoever. What else do we have? All right. Are we done with car stories? I got a couple of other things I want to talk to you about before we get out of here as well. An hour 22 into the show. I hope you're doing great. By the way, let's recap since we are here. Episode 37. We've discussed at length Boston blowing out the Warriors 125-85. First and third quarter did it. I showed you those box scores. Tank or trade? I know it sounds crazy in the age that Steph Curry is, age 37 season, to say tank, but how else are you going to get a great pick? Trade, there's nobody out there. Free agency, you can't do that. You're already over the number. WTF Kenny Smith on TNT said that the Warriors need to get younger and the Lakers need to get older. Didn't make a whole lot of sense. You can go back and watch it. I don't buy what he's selling. I love Kenny. Didn't make any sense. Sala and Staley. That is Brandon Staley, of course, the backup plan to Robert Sala. Sala has an interview, a second interview scheduled with Jacksonville. I'm getting a little nervous. Fossil is Bones Fossil, John Bones Fossil, one of the best special teams coordinator around. And when Dallas' staff was blown out, Fossil was out there. He goes to Tennessee. I don't know if the 49ers reached out. I don't know. It must be that the 49ers have someone in mind that is playing in the playoffs right now. But Bones Fossil would have made a whole lot of sense. We talked about college football, the good and the bad. The good, love the playoff, love the teams are challenging themselves. Do not like the new conferences, the proximity, the Pac-12 playing in the Big Ten and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have a whole lot of success this year. And the portal is crazy. I bet we hear Jeremiah Smith, the receiver from Ohio State, the freshman number 4, who made the big 57-yard catch down the right sideline to seal that game and caught the first touchdown. He'll make like $3 million. I mean, I don't think Ohio State's going to get outbid, but if Uncle Phil in Oregon wanted to, I can't believe that Oregon couldn't just dominate this sport, completely dominate this sport. So that's where we are at this particular point. OSU 34, Notre Dame 23. And then as far as Tolbert is concerned, let me pull this up. I meant to do this a little bit earlier, so let me just go real quick. Sorry, I should have done this earlier. Talk amongst yourself for just one second. Do, 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 do. You probably saw this, but I will pull it up for you just in case. Do, 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 do. Here he is. Let me see if I pull this up, and then I want to share it with you. Now let's go back. This will just take a second. I should have been better prepared. You can rip me for this. This is all on me, 100%. Let me share my screen with you and share. There we go. As you can see right there, Tom Tolbert says 11 hours ago, what's shaking? People used to get mad at me when I worked with them for saying, they're like, you're not Tom. Stop it. For those curious, I will be doing something soon. Same type of stuff, my take on sports and stupid stuff, but a little bluer than normal. So risque. Think of when Tom and I used to go over to 1050, if you ever listened to that. If you weren't curious, then carry on. So Tolbert says he's getting close, I can tell you. And again, because he said it, I feel like I could bring it up there. So there you go. What's shaking? I will be doing something soon. Same type of stuff, blah, 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 blah. So I will be involved in those same type of shenanigans with Tolbert. So it is getting close, just to let you know, it is getting close. So Tommy's going to be doing some stuff. For some people, that's exciting. For other people, they're like, whatever. But so Tom is going to be doing some stuff soon. Sorry, I should have had that ready for you so that you didn't have to take the time. So very soon with Tom. Today's what? What is today? January 21st. I would say within 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So that's what's going on with Tolbert. I will let you know more. Wow. Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. I just saw this. And I don't know how you do this. This is absolutely great. There we go. That one. I think we got a Victor. I own a 2003 Ford Tacoma, 330,000 miles. That's awesome, dude. I wish I could. I really wish I could do that. But anyway, boy, there's, man, you guys are going to throw me off. Bailey's and coffee is the best. Yeah, you know what? I had a bottle of Bailey's behind me. It's gone now. I put it back in the liquor cabinet. I thought it looked a little weird. My wife walked in here and she's like, why do you have a bottle of Bailey's behind you? Like, I don't know, just sometimes I have coffee and it bores me, and then I throw some of that in there and I feel a little bit better. So she was judging me. So I was like, nah, I guess I won't do that anymore. What else? John's holding out on Tom like IU contract negotiations are getting close. No, he's going to, hi, Pat H. No, he's going to do stuff, and I've been in contact with him, and maybe, just maybe, he'll come on my show before he launches his thing to talk about it. But It is going to be cool when Tommy jumps ahead and does his thing, and we're all going to be kind of involved in one thing. Because just to be honest with you, we got all these guys doing different things. Paulie's doing something, and I'm doing something, and Damon and Larry started doing this before, and Tom's going to jump aboard. So it makes a lot of sense for all of us to do a lot of things, and so we'll let you know. But it is coming up soon, and since he is starting to tweet, I think he has 2 tweets in the last 2 years, does Tom? So because he started to tweet about it, we can all start talking about it. So it's going to be very cool. I love that everybody's getting into this whole conversation about vehicles, as I'm looking at what everybody used to have. My favorite definitely is I'm seeing people talk about Jeeps. I've told you the Jeep story. In fact, I have a promo of it, but I'll just tell it really quickly again. I love Jeeps. In fact, my wife just bought a Jeep. I love Jeeps. And so I had a Grand Cherokee, and it was ending. The lease was ending on it. And so I drive by, it was a summer day, it was beautiful outside, probably 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. And I was just driving by for the heck of it. And I had about 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks left on my Grand Cherokee lease. And I drive by the Jeep dealer, and my ex-wife, which is one of the reasons she's my ex-wife at the time, we had a conversation. Like I think most normal people do, that when you buy something with large value, you know, you buy a house, you buy a car, you buy, you know, certain things, you're going to probably have a conversation with your significant other and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And so we had a conversation because she was really patient with cars. She had a Honda Accord forever and ever and ever. She was great with cars, but I'm not that way. I like leasing cars because I want a new car like all the time. I don't know. That's just my weird thing. I'm not a huge car guy, but I like having a newer car. So I always leased cars. And so we come to a conclusion. She said, all right, you have this Grand Cherokee. Why don't you try to keep the payment or whatever, you know, either the same or maybe even a little less. All right, could you do that? And I said, yeah, no problem. So then it was like a Saturday. I'm running errands and I happen to drive by. I didn't even mean to do this. I drive by the Jeep dealer and I see this, and I'm in like a navy blue Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's a nice car. It's got all the bells and whistles. And I see this Jeep. It's a silver Jeep. And it's got the top off of it. And it's kind of on one of those things where, you know, they're trying to sell it. It's on kind of one of those ramp things, and it's on the top, and it's all silver, and it has, you know, flags flying in the wind off it or something like that. And I like silver cars, had some cool wheels on it and everything like that. And it was a four-door back in the day when they had just come out with a four-door Jeep Wrangler, which I was never going to buy a two-door because I had a kid at the time. I still have a kid. But, you know, he was young and I wanted, you know, four-door. So anyway, I drive by this thing and I thought, nah, it's not going to hurt to look at this thing. So I go in and the guy, you know, he gives me the whole spiel. Hey, you got it in the Jeep. Oh, it's looking good. Oh, yeah. So he gives me that whole spiel and I'm like, just give it a drive. It's not going to hurt. So we have the top off it. He's talking my ear off like your typical sales guy. But this is pretty cool. Hair's blowing in the wind. I'm thinking I'm pretty cool, even though I'm not. I'm probably in a midlife crisis at that point or a little bit before, but I can feel it coming on. And this thing is awesome. And so I'm like, just for the heck of it. And he's like, oh, you're like 2 months out of the lease. And it was through Jeep, the lease. So it would have been really easy to just flip it. And long story short, as you know, I've told this story. I buy it. And I just, the minute I bought it, I had the biggest euphoria. I stopped by a couple of my friends' house because I didn't want to go home. So then I drive the thing home and my wife is just beside herself. I mean, just beside herself. We talked about this. What about this? How much is this costing? How come you didn't talk to me? How come you didn't call me? How come you didn't? I'm like, ugh. So anyway, long story short, but I love Jeeps. And when I first moved to the Bay Area at the end of 2010, I still had that Jeep. The lease came up on it. She's like, you're getting rid of it. I was like, all right, yeez. So that was a long 4 years because every time we got into that thing, every time she looked at that thing, it was like, oh, man, yeez. Skills report, you're onto something there. You're onto something there. We've definitely thought of that. Anyway, what else do we have today? Oh, the website. I just want to show you one more thing. And if you had anything that I hadn't gotten to today as we just went over everything, if I haven't gotten anything, hit me up here. Absolutely hit me up here. You can always hit me up on the stream here. You can always hit me up at John Lund Radio. And I'm always talking about subscribe, all those kind of things. Please subscribe at John Lund Unleashed Pod, all those kind of things. But I'm constantly talking about it. Let me share my screen with you one more time. Share screen. Let me go to this. Did I do this at the beginning of the show? I can't remember. I think I might have. Anyway, there's the new website. It's good enough to promote. So johnlundunleashed.com. If you see the top there, you can hit right there for YouTube shows. There's the latest YouTube shows. I update this every day. You click down here. It says for more shows, and you click for all the different shows. That'll open up to something. Will that actually do it while I'm sharing it? No. Unleashed Podcast, you click there. Oh, yeah, it did. Okay, so then you can go there. Those are all your stuff like that. You can go to the podcast page. It'll pop up all the podcasts, blah, 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 subscribe. All that kind of stuff. Where else can you go? Oh, I got a blog going. So if you want to hear my thoughts on anything, I'm writing blogs. There's only a couple up there right now, but I guess there's three. So we got blogs going up there right now. So you can go check out anything. So check it out. All your social media icons right there. So anytime you forget, what the hell? John Lund Unleashed. John Lund Unleashed. You can subscribe there. You can watch old podcasts there. You can watch new podcasts. You can watch YouTube shows. You can listen to my thoughts or watch my thoughts as we're blogging it as well. So everything is there in one place, and you can check it out, johnlundunleashed.com. So very, very simple right there. So what do you think? There you go. I've been saying that forever, and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know about you. So anyway, as far as the rest of the week is concerned, guests galore the rest of the week. Some really good ones, some NFL guests. We'll have an NFL guest tomorrow that I don't know what time. So I'll make sure that you're subscribed to the channel and I will shoot that out, especially to the Lund loyalists. I'll make sure that you do that. We'll shoot out some videos later today. As I said, if you didn't join me last night, we had an awesome time in the post game. I know the Warriors got smoked, but we did a combination of Celtics Warriors post game and the national championship game. And since we had so much fun and a bunch of different people were in the room, let's do that again. So you want to do it for tomorrow? I mean, tomorrow we're obviously going to do a regular show, but we can do a Warriors Kings since there's a proximity there. We can do a Warriors Kings post game tomorrow night. So tomorrow for the show at 8 a.m., we'll get a bunch of good guests on tomorrow. Then we'll do a Kings Warriors post game tomorrow night. Really enjoyed doing that. So we did that. So anything else that we need to discuss today, I am all ears. We played some Steph for you, that Kenny Smith thing. Did we miss anything today? We did hit up on everything. Yeah, I know. I didn't put Kirby Yates up there. I didn't, like, after a while, it's like, whatever, man. whatever. Yeah, there's Kings fans in here, so we'll do that. We'll do that for tomorrow night. So show tomorrow at 8 a.m. as always. Tomorrow night we will do a post game for the Kings. What else do we have? A lot. Have anything else that we missed today? Really enjoyed everybody hanging out per usual. We also have the website. Please make sure you subscribe. That's about it. That's about it today. We had a good time. Yeah, stay on the lookout. I'm giving you small hints along the way. Stay there for the stay out there for the lookout, and we will do that. All right. Please spread the word. Please subscribe. Please like. Please hit the website. I've hit you up with enough things today, and we have a podcast as well, Spotify and Apple. Hall of Fame talk. We can get a Hall of Fame talk. I can do Hall of Fame talk. Oops. Jeez, look at me. These things move, and then I just, you know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for subscribing, Uncle Looney. Can't appreciate it enough. Hall of Fame talk. There we go. I want to get that. Yeah, there we go. My finger's a little iffy today. Hall of Fame talk. Yeah, we can get into a ton of Hall of Fame talk. Although I look at, you know, the guys that people are voting for, and I don't know, maybe it's just me. And I know the Bay Area is always going to side with Barry Bonds, or at least most people are going to side with him. And I just laugh what the guys that they're voting for now, and they still don't have him in. It's like, you know, come on. I know it's gone to a, you know, an alumni thing and all that kind of stuff, but are you kidding me? Very nice, Smiley Dan. Very nice. Good to see you. Anyone check on Bosa? Yeah, that's true. They won the national championship. What a good day for him, huh? And his guy got back into the White House. So there you go. What else? I guess that's it, man. Great time had by all. Did about an hour and 36 today. If anything, oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Nathan is the man. Thank you very much for the donation. You can always donate to the show as well, which always goes to my child that I'm trying to get through college. And so Nathan, you are a man. You're an absolute man. I really appreciate you doing that. But thanks as always for hanging out today. If anything breaks throughout the day, and not a Kirby Yates signing with the Dodgers, I'm not talking about that. If anything breaks throughout the day, I did not bring up the Giants signing. What, Joey Lucchesi? I'm sorry. I just can't report those kind of things. It's depressing. I don't want to bring up Joey Lucchesi. I don't want to do it. I just did, but just so you know that I know that he signed, but that just doesn't do anything for me. Just does nothing whatsoever for me. So I guess I'm just going to skip over that whole thing. Let me double check. I didn't miss anything on this part. See, just so you know, I had it. I mean, I had it, but what? You know, the Dodgers side, and it's like, let's counter with Lucchesi. I'm sorry. I just think that makes people depressed. And so I guess I did acknowledge it, but I didn't want to acknowledge it. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Thank you very much again. Thank you, Nathan. Thanks for everybody for coming out today. I much appreciate it. 8 a.m. tomorrow, we will do the same thing. We'll start the guests tomorrow. I just want to hang out with you today, but guests tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. I'll give you the latest on Tommy. We just gave you his tweet, but I have a meeting scheduled, so that's all I got to tell you. And what else do we have? Is that it? Thank you very much. Again, anything, anytime, hit me up right here on the YouTube channel, or hit me up anywhere. You can go to the website. You can hit me there or on any of the social media channels at John Lund Radio. Have a wonderful day. If anything breaks, we'll be right back here. John Lund Unleashed. Have a great Tuesday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!